So chapter 10 is an exciting chapter. I'm not going to say it's the best chapter in Acts, but it's probably one of the best chapters in Acts. This is a chapter where the first Gentile gets saved. Some people ask me, Pastor, but who are the Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? You want to know who the Gentiles are? That's me. So for the very first time in the New Testament, we see that people other than Jews get saved. That's why it's exciting. It's exciting because for the very first time, we see in the New Testament, people like you and me coming to the Lord. We're seeing that people like you and me, God is preparing, you know, the hearts and are coming to Him for salvation. Because salvation is the best thing that can ever happen to us. And I've said this before, it's better than when we get married, it's better when we have than when we have our children. Better than all those things, and all those things are great, don't get me wrong. I love them. I cherish every single one of those moments in my life. But I cherish more the moment that God came into my life. And I remember that like it was yesterday. And I hope you do too. It was the greatest moment of my life. So in this chapter, we see that the first Gentile gets saved. That means that the church had reached its goal. Go back with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Jesus had stated from the very beginning. This is what he told them. This is what you guys need to do. And he's talking to the apostles. He says, you guys need to do this. And he's given them instructions. His very last instructions. This is one of the very last things that Jesus said before he left. And he said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here it is. And you will be my witnesses in Judea. Then some. Here it goes. And to the end of the earth, that means past Israel. That means the Middle East, Europe, South America, North America, Florida, the little town of Point Beach, where you live. But it all started in Jerusalem. Then they needed to go further out to Judea and Samaria. And again, to the ends of the earth. So it's in this chapter where it all begins for us. For us. This is the moment when Christianity reached other countries and other continents. This is the moment when God moves in. This is the moment that God moves to reach us, me and you. And again, this is a praise God moment. And I hope that you are praising God in your heart because it's an exciting moment. It's an exciting moment. So a moment that started in Jerusalem at this moment in chapter 10, it's going to start to spread around the world. Wow. Because today, the gospel has reached and is reaching the most remote areas. Like, for instance, we have missions in, you're not going to believe this, in Central America. We have missions in South America. And some of you have been, or either one. In fact, we're planning to go in April to Ecuador, South America. Let me know if you want to go. In Ecuador, in particular, we are in this little town called Ayacucho. Can you say that with me? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ayacucho. Ayacucho. So Ayacucho is 4 hours from the main city of Guayaquil. It's a town in the mountains. It's a town where you see a lot of farms. It's a farm area. You see farmers. So we are preaching in a remote part of a third world country, Ayacucho. Again, praise God for that. Praise the Lord, because chapter 10 is where it all began. We can do that. We can go and do missions because of what occurred in chapter 10 of Acts. Our church today is reaching people in the farmlands of a continent thousands of miles from where we live today. Those who are going to be joining the church today, and I hope that God has touched in your heart to join us today, you're going to be hearing about our missions in our other countries. But again, all of this started in chapter 10 with Peter. Now, if you recall last week, chapter 9, the Apostle Paul comes to salvation. Does everybody remember that? The Apostle Paul, I mean, it was one of the greatest moments for him in the way that it happened. God started to prepare the Apostle Paul for the great work that he is going to be doing, and we're going to see that here in the upcoming weeks. Don't miss it. It's exciting. But today, it's Peter's turn. Peter had a big role with Gentiles getting to know the gospel. Peter has come a long way. For any of you that know Peter, have read about his life, you know that he's come a very long way. For example, Peter is the one that chops off the ear of that guard when they were taking Jesus away. Do you remember that? So like for in Peter's life, it's been like a roller coaster. Anybody been on a roller coaster lately? Yeah, really? Wow. I stopped being on a roller coaster about maybe 5 years ago. I was just getting too old for that. I mean, in my case, just get dizzy. I couldn't do it anymore. My kids, they do it all the time, but not me. But as in the roller coaster, you have those ups and downs. And you're like all over the place. And that's the life of Peter. The life of Peter was like a roller coaster. If you read, right, the Gospels, you'll read, a lot about Peter. And you'll see that he's up and down. You know, he's like a roller coaster. And if you're honest, it probably should remind you about you. I know it does for me. Peter reminds me of me sometimes. And we have our ups and downs in life. He chops off the ear of that guard. He was totally out of the will of God. That wasn't God's intent. That moment, it was for Jesus to go to the cross and die for our sins. So he wasn't supposed to do that. I think the guard, if you really look at the text, it says that he chops off his ear, but it's, I think he just had good reflexes. I was in a box room the other day near where I work, and these guys had the reflexes. And I think the guard had just a quick reflex because Peter wasn't really going for his ear. I think Peter was going for his jugular. I think Peter was, his intention was to chop his head off. But he just had good reflexes. But worse than that, Peter is the one that denies Christ. Remember that? Peter is the one that denies Christ, not once, not twice, three times. Again, if you put your heart in your heart, your hand in your heart, it should remind you possibly of you. Where at times we will fail God as well. But with Peter, he did all these things after being with Christ. Now think about this for a moment. He did all these things. He failed Christ after being with Christ for over 3 years. I want you to think about that for a moment. He walked with Christ for over 3 years. That means this. That means that he saw all the miracles that Christ did. He heard everything that Christ preached. He was right there most of the time at the feet of Jesus. And even at that, he fails him. Wow. Even with all of that, being directly with Christ, seeing all the miracles, still he had the moments of weakness. Moments that didn't make him proud. But this is the most important thing, is this. That even though Peter failed, and he failed miserably, and he failed continuously, Jesus forgave him every single time. And again, that is an amen. That is a praise God. Praise the Lord for us. Because our intent is not to fail God, but at times we will. And thank the Lord that we can go to his presence. And thank the Lord that we can go to him and say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for what we did. And thank the Lord that we don't have to go to a third party, a third person. We can go directly to him and ask him for forgiveness. Amen? Praise God for that. That is what we believe. And of course, Peter is one of the ones that asked that question. Lord, how many times are we supposed to forgive people? Apparently, he had problems with forgiving. I know some people have a problem with that. In fact, every month when we have our Lord's Supper, I ask the entire church to come up and we pray. You know what we pray about? We pray so that God continues to change our hearts, that we can forgive others just like he forgave us. We are supposed to forgive others. And I know that's not easy to do. I know that that's hard for most people. So listen to what Peter says, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, he's talking to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Again, he probably had a problem with that. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive him? He's constantly just messing up. Luke was talking. How often will my brother sin against me? How many times do I have to forgive him for offending me? For saying nasty things about me? And Jesus said to him, and he says, and how many times against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times, he says. He gives him a number. Then Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. Which means you got to forgive him all the time. Again, that's very hard for us to do at times. In essence, what Jesus is saying, that God is forgiving us constantly. That God is forgiving us continuously because I'm God. I think it's continuous. And again, I thank the Lord that he can forgive us of our sins when we go to him. The Bible says that he does forgive us. Now, it doesn't mean that we keep sinning. It doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want. And I heard, you know, that some religions, that's what they believe. They believe that since we're saved, that God saves us, we can do whatever we want. We can do party. We can do all these kind of things because, you know what? God has saved me and I can do whatever I want. And that's a lie from hell. And it smells like smoke. But he does forgive us. He forgives us because he loves us. Amen? So just like God forgave us, we are also to forgive. And again, Peter's asking this question because he probably had this problem. He had this problem of not forgiving people. Again, Peter had his up and downs in life, just like us, our ups and downs. Moments when we don't feel so close to God. But now, this very moment in chapter 10, Peter has been chosen for a very special task. Peter will be opening the gates for the gospel to move on. Peter will be opening the gates so that the gospel can continue forward to us. So let's go to the first verse. Let's read the first seven verses, Acts chapter 10 from 1 through 7, just so that you get an idea of what's going on. How is this happening? How is God going to bring salvation to the Gentiles? Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The word of God says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So he was an Italian. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. So we can see he had a good heart. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner. A tanner is someone who works with leather. And he's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now when the angel spoke to him, had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to him, he sent them to Joppa. So we see that Cornelius here gets a vision from God. He gives him instructions as to what to do. Now what the Bible is saying here is that he's a good guy. I mean, he's doing all the right things. He's a good guy. But I want to tell you something. He is still not saved. You can be a good person and still not be saved. Okay, keep that in mind. He's still not saved. God is setting it up for that moment. But up to now, all we're seeing that he's a good person. He does good deeds. He's trying close to God. But it doesn't mean that he is saved. Please keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. This is the story of the first Gentile to be saved in the New Testament, as I said before. So it's a historical event. So the Bible here is telling us that God spoke to Cornelius. God tells Cornelius to go and get Peter, because Peter would be the one that would eventually present the gospel to Cornelius. Peter would be the one that would bring the good news of salvation to Cornelius. Again, Cornelius is not saved yet. You can do all the good things in life. It does not mean that you're saved. You're saved when you accept Christ in your heart. You change your life and you live for him. That's when you're saved. When you're not saved only because you're a good person and you do good deeds. That's great if you do. Cornelius was a good guy, and he did very good deeds. But the Bible here is clearly telling us that he was not saved yet. In that vision, he says, go get Peter, because he's the guy that's going to show you, he's going to tell you, and he's going to bring you into salvation. Now, that said, I also want to say this, that Cornelius was ready. And, you know, I meet people all the time. Every day I meet new people. And immediately, you know, in my spirit, I could feel that, and I sense that they're good people. And likewise, you can sense, you know, when people are don't have good intentions and don't care about much of anything. But there's good people in this world who care about the earth, who care about other people, who care about, you know, these are good people. And they're one step away. I mean, just one baby step away from coming to Christ and saying, Christ, I open up my heart to you. I want to live for you. And they're just one step away. Cornelius was one step away from coming to Jesus. And you probably know people like that. And you know something would be so glorious if you would be that person. You would be that Peter who would bring that person to knowing Christ, to receiving Christ. And many times they're like right in front of us. Many times these are people that could be your family members or your neighbors. And all you have to do is just talk to them about Christ, about the good news of salvation, the gospel. Cornelius was ready. He had a tender heart for the things of God. If you notice, the verse says that he was a devout man that feared God, not only him, but his entire family. His entire family. I mean, this is impressive. Cornelius prayed continually to God. And not only that, but he says that he gave to the poor. I mean, his heart was right. He was a good guy. I mean, we have a good man here. He did so many great things, but there was one thing missing, and it was Christ in his life. You can have all things in life. You can be a very good person. I've said this before, but if you do not have Christ in your life, you do not have nothing. But if you don't have anything and you do have Christ, you have everything. How many can praise God? Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, I know so many people like Cornelius. They're so close. They're a step away from salvation. They're a step away from accepting into their lives. Now, I want to make this clear. There are people that say, I believe in God. That's different than I've accepted Christ in my heart. And I live for Christ. Two differences. I mean, there's a difference between the two things. Believing in God and accepting Christ into my heart and living for him until the day that I die. Sister Liz that died, it hurts, but I know that she is in heaven with the Lord, as well with her son. See, on Christmas Day, they invited me to go and preach at the church. And man, what I saw was how she received us, my wife and I, and the son that died, Daniel. He was the one that was preparing all the sound, and he was doing the media, and he was getting ready, he was serving. I mean, that's what I saw. That's the last thing that's in my mind of the sister and her son serving the Lord. Little did they know that a couple of weeks later, God would take them. How do you figure? Praise God that we can serve the Lord. Praise God that we can serve the Lord in ministries And I know it's hard. I know it's not easy to do that. But let me tell you something. It's a privilege and a joy to be able to do that. Today we're going to receive new members, I hope. And I pray that you can join us and be part of this movement of God here in this church. So there's no greater joy when people accept Christ into their hearts and then serve God. Every time I see a salvation, it just makes my heart beat faster and faster when people come to Christ or come closer to God. Last week we had people, you know, raising their hands, wanting to get closer to God. We even had, you know, a brother give his life to Christ. In fact, is the brother here today? There he is, right there. Yeah, can you stand for just a moment? Can you stand? Yeah, that's him right there. Brother Franz, right? Franz, yeah. That name stuck into my brain. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. So you may be seated. Because we had finished the service. We had done. We were doing, you know, we're voting on our last week, and if you remember. And we had finished the service, but, you know, as I was, I prayed, and I was going to the door to do the final greeting. But the corner of my eye, I see the sister and the brother there, you know, they're kind of saying, hey, you know, I didn't really understand what, you know, so, but finally they go to me, and I just want you to kind of check out the insistence, you know, because that was so cool to see them, even though I wasn't able to understand what they were saying at that moment when they're saying we're trying to catch my attention, you know, and they still get to me over there, and she says to me, and with him, you know, I want to accept Christ into my heart. And what? So guess what happens? Everything stops. Because for me, the most important thing is that when someone gives their life to Christ, when someone says, hey, I want to give my life to Christ, I want to be a believer in Christ. And at that moment, I told my wife, listen, you know, I got to pray for him. I got to, you know, and at the end of the service, you're going to see something really cool about that. So just check that out when that happens. But it was a great moment. And the brother received Christ into his life. I mean, that was awesome to be able to see that and to hear that. Amen. How many can praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. So Cornelius was ready to receive Christ into his life. I mean, what does it really mean to receive Christ into your life? What does it really mean to receive God into your heart? You know what that means? It means that he will give us that peace that only he can give. The Bible says that God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. That means that you're going to have a peace when things are just going bonkers around you. He's going to give you that peace when things are going crazy nuts around you. And you're going to be at peace because it's a peace that only God can give. Does that make sense? Amen? But it also means that before receiving Christ, there is absolutely no way that we could be at peace with God. And very thankful for that. Very thankful for good people. Because there are a lot of good people here on this earth. A lot of good people. But even at that, the Bible says that we are rebellious. Even at that, even at being a good person, the Bible says that we were in rebellion against God and with others. And that's why we hear how badly people talk about each other. That's why we hear about people doing terrible things to other people. I mean, we hear all these kind of things in the news. It's daily. It's daily. There isn't a day that goes by that I turn on the TV and turn on the news and it's bad news. It's bad news. I mean, really ugly bad news. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, and I'm just like this. What? Huh? And at times, like, no way. And I'm surprised at the evil in the hearts of people, because they have no way to be good. Because the Bible says that they're in rebellion against God, even the nicest of people. In fact, this is what the Apostle Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. He says this, that they are slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent new forms of evil. That's interesting. They invent new forms of evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and merciless. You can read that in Romans chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. I think it's in the screen. Yeah. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is this, that without Christ, we do not have the ability to do good. Without Christ, we do not have the ability to do good. But when we come to Christ, we have peace with God and peace with others. Amen? When we come to Christ, He is the one that gives us that peace. We have peace with God and then peace with others. If I look at the Middle East, I see how hard they try to have peace. You've had the best of the best politicians trying. We all know that. For years and years and years, since 1948, when Israel became a state. Israel, 1948, became an independent state. But since then, it's been problem after problem after problem. There's been peace initiatives, and they've tried peace treaties, and some they've signed, and really, all for the next couple of weeks to go down the tubes. They've signed so many peace treaties in the Middle East to no avail. So it's 2023, and they're still trying. But the only one thing that can bring peace to this world, including the Middle East, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 There is no one else, because we know that Christ will one day make all things right again. He will. That's what the Word of God says, and I believe it. I have faith that that's what's going to happen. All the prophecies point towards that. Everything that the Bible says has been true to this day. The only thing I'm waiting for right now is for Christ to come for His church. My question to you, are you ready? Are you ready for that? I pray that you are, because I know that Christ will one day will come for his church, and He's going to make all things right again. So that's exactly what happened with Peter and Cornelius. But there was a big problem. It's the last thing I'm going to say, because next week we're going to continue with chapter 10, because there's so many things here in chapter 10. Peter was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. And tradition has it that there is definitely no match there. Tradition said that these could not be together. The law said that these two could not be together. But Christ came and He changed all of that. Christ came and He changed this all around. So here we see in chapter 10 that God brings two people groups together. Chapter 10 reconciles brother with brother. Prior to that, there have been so many years of hatred and fighting. So the message in chapter 10 tells us that peace can be achieved but through Christ. Remember, peace with God, and that brings us peace with others, peace with men. And it all starts with salvation. It starts with God offering the salvation to all who want it. And the really neat thing is that God prepares our hearts for that moment. And it ultimately becomes our decision. At that moment, where everything's prepared, He's prepared the heart, it becomes our decision. But God makes it very easy for us. He does. There's that human responsibility when we must say, I do to God. Just like when you say, or when I said, I do to my wife. That was a commitment for life. This ring reminds me of that. It was a commitment for life. Here God called Cornelius, and Cornelius answered the call. Because it is God that calls us. It is God that reaches us. Prior to that, we are blind and we are dead. It is God that initiates salvation. We saw that with Paul last week. It was God that initiated that. Remember that? Paul was on that Damascus road with the intention of doing evil. But Paul accepted Christ that day and God saved him. That's exactly what happened. That day, Paul saw the light of Jesus Christ, literally. In chapter 10, we see that Cornelius comes to faith in God. We see that Cornelius was submissive to God's call. Cornelius responds to God because sovereign call demands human response.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.